enter the second and final hour of the week. Got any big weekend plans there, Colfax? I keep asking. There's nothing really happening.
Broncos game.
Oh, yeah. You're rooting for him to lose. You bad Broncos. You bad Broncos fan.
Terrible fan.
Well, I mean, I can't lie. When Zach Stevens says stuff like, hey, they could, you know, they could be in the top four or the bottom four. Winning eight games does nothing for you. Unless you get in the playoffs. I mean, winning eight games did a lot for Tim Tebow and company. They won the division and they got into the playoffs and actually won a first round. But it's not the case this year. I mean, you look at the standings. There's a lot of big games. A lot of big games this week. But they're so far out, man. I mean, if you were talking two spots, okay, then you got to win out and you need some help. You need a couple of teams to lose 50% of these final four. All right, it's a little more realistic. But you need Baltimore to lose three of four. And again, that's assuming, I don't know what the tiebreaker looks like. You need New England to at least lose one. You do have the tiebreaker over them. You need the Raiders to lose the next four games. I guess they could lose three of four if Denver beats the Raiders, and then maybe they have the tiebreaker. The Colts, I don't know who has the tiebreaker over that one, but that you need them to lose four games. So that's where it is. Colts, Raiders, Ravens, three teams that you need them to lose three to four games. I mean, it's possible, but if it was closer, then I'd be down. But and I do think the Broncos probably win on Sunday. I do think they're going to beat the Panthers. No Christian McCaffrey. Teddy Bridgewater has been okay, but, you know, he's not going to go win games. And, I mean, Mike Davis has been solid. He's a running back, but Zach was 100% right when he said this, though. The last thing you should want as a Broncos fan is for Denver to win this game 16-10. Because it means, again, your defense had to be the star, and your offense is just barely getting by. The stats for Drew Locke, shouldn't that be enough? Now, again, I know. We want to go by the eye test. You know, you want to be fair. You want to watch games, because I do think it could all be very misleading. Because you can say, I can tell you right now, Teddy Bridgewater has the second best completion percentage in the NFL. He has 70% completion percentage. It's not bad. But 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, he's been sacked 19 times. And again, you have to watch those games. You know, he's efficient. And he's not bad. Like I said, he's not bad. But he still throws a lot of interceptions too. Touchdowns are all there. Plus, they're not winning, so they're doing this in interesting times. You know, and if I were to tell you that, you know, Gardner Minshew, 65.9%. I mean, he's only a few percentage points behind Philip Rivers, who's having a playoff team. He's only 3 percentage points behind Patrick Mahomes. See what I mean? That's misleading. That's why you have to watch the full games to see. But there's nothing misleading when you're below 60, and that's Sam Darnold, that's Carson Wentz, and that's Drew Locke. What do all those quarterbacks have in common? Uncertain futures. Carson Wentz just got benched. Sam Darnold is, if I were a betting man, I would say the Jets are going to gamble on Trevor Lawrence rather than Sam Darnold. And the Broncos might stand pat just because they haven't tried the longevity thing. Think about this. Since John Fox, the Broncos haven't had a head coach go more than 2 years. You know, you had Gary Kubiak went two. He kind of went on his own. But he had the Super Bowl year, and then he was gone the next year at 9-7. No playoffs. Vance Joseph went two seasons. And this is Vic's second. So, I mean, Drew Locke might get this starting job just because Denver wants to have some consistency, some continuity with their head coach, with their offensive coordinator, and with their quarterback. And I can get it. I can understand it, because if you're Elway, you're like, man, we keep trying, but nothing's happening. Oof. You're in a tough spot, man. He's the worst in the NFL in passer completion percentage. And he doesn't pass the eye test. But so why are we still having this debate? Because he's young? I mean, he's almost two. I mean, we're going to go. What, he had five games last year. He's almost going to have this first full season under his belt. You're not just bad. You're the worst as far as completion percentage, and you're 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. The numbers do not lie, unfortunately, for Drew Lock. You watch him just as closely as I do. He often goes for the deep pass, the home run. Is that a Pat Shurmur thing? Is that a Drew Lock thing? I don't know. Clearly, they design pass plays, and they design checkdowns in those pass plays. Drew Lock's not hitting them. Terrible stats. 1,900 yards. I mean, Kovacs, you could probably go out and throw for 2,000 yards. I mean, most guys are throwing for 2,000 yards. Teddy Bridgewater hasn't played since 1947, and he's thrown for over 2,000 yards. Josh Allen said at 3,400. Deshaun Watson's on a losing team, and they're at 35, and I know he's airing it out a lot. Alex Smith's only played in 6 games, and he's at 1,700 yards. Drew Lock has played in 9. He's just under 2. We could talk about misleading, but we watch these games close. And there's not... What is a redeeming quality right now for Drew Lock? What is it? He's got a really strong arm. It's not really helping because that just forces you to go deep all the time. There's not a lot we can package right now about Drew Lock as far as giving us something to look forward to for the future. Last year, okay, they went 4-1. He had some great games. What changed? Film? Defenses get more on him? Learn more about what makes him tick? We see this quite often. This is why Patrick Mahomes, I hate to say this out loud, the guy's going to go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. For several reasons. But he adjusts. And that's what Drew Lock's not able to do. I mean, yes, he did make a slight adjustment. You're seeing him not just take off and roll right all the time now. He has dialed that back a little bit. Maybe he's starting to trust his offensive line. But he has to, these next 4 games, like, and I get what our boy Zach Stevens says with DMVR Broncos. Maybe you got to be more of a game manager. I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks he's got to light it up. But then there's also this part of me that thinks, I don't think Denver's making any moves. I seriously think they've been hurt so much before that they're going to just stay the course with Drew Lock, Vic, and Pat, and John. The ownership thing's not going to get figured out until next year, until after next season. So nothing's really going to change with John Elway. John Elway will be there next year. You can argue with me until you're blue in the face. But John Elway will be the man in charge next season. And here's the silver lining in all this. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. Elway has actually put together some decent drafts. You know, since he, he's had some bad ones too. But he's actually put together, not terrible, the last couple of years. And aside from the most important position in football, it's not been bad. Last year, I'm still a little weird about it. We'll see what Jerry Jeudy does. But the year before that, Noah Fant, Dalton Reisner. Draymond Jones is getting a lot of time. Okay. I always say, I mean, if you can get one or two guys to become big pieces every single year, then you're doing something right. Because I think the draft's a crapshoot. So if you can get one guy that's going to be, okay, he's a 5, 6, 7, 8 plus year guy. Well, Noah Fant, we still haven't seen enough from him, but still think he's a mismatch. Dalton Reisner has been a total hit. Nice job. Draymond Jones is getting more and more time. Bradley Chubb, we can argue about Josh Allen all day, but Bradley Chubb's good. Cortland Sutton, some good players there. I want to get into this a little bit more. We are going to take a break, though. We're going to talk to Pro Football Network, Pro Football Network's Cody Rourke, our Broncos insider. Tell us what he thinks about this Carolina matchup and what Drew Lock can do. And what is it about Drew Lock at this point in time that he just isn't clicking? We'll talk to him next. And can he fix it? 15 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, as he does every Friday, getting you set for the busy, busy NFL weekend, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst, Broncos insider, and NFL media talent at Pro Football Network. Cody, aside from the Broncos, this weekend is actually going to be very entertaining. So many games with a lot of playoff meaning to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, you know, it was always great to be introduced to Thunder Kiss 65 here on this Friday, my man. But
that's all the wonderful producer work back there, man. Yes,
oh,
appreciate
I love it. this is going to be a good weekend of football, man. And I tell you what, it's exciting. You know, even coming to this matchup, 2-4-8 football teams, young football teams for that matter. You know, a lot on the line. I mean, a lot of people, I know a lot of Broncos fans have been saying that the season's pretty much over for Denver, but look, I think they have a legitimate chance. They can go 3-1 or 4-0 in these next four games. They do have a chance that they can play one game at a time and play the way they played against Kansas City.
It does be you do become you start looking at the scoreboard a lot more, right? You're seeing all these different teams, and if you are getting that mode, if the Broncos can win against Carolina, you start looking at the rest of these teams in front of them, and you're hoping that they can. I mean, the Colts play the Raiders this week, so there's a team right there going to lose at least one of them, make it interesting. So you're right. This is that crazy time of year where we're all kind of paying attention a little bit more to the rest of the league, at least as far as scores.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for Denver, you know, I think when you look at the AFC West, the Chargers, I mean, imagine them getting smacked the way that they did last weekend. And then that Patriots team that did that, I mean, they just laid a complete egg on Thursday Night Football last night. I mean, this is such a weird NFL season. You never know how it's going to go.
Yeah, no question. It's kind of an interesting deal today, you know, hearing Darian Stewart calling it quits. What a great career. But we're kind of going full circle. We're playing the Panthers this weekend. It takes us back to that Super Bowl. We think about how great that defense was. Pretty special. I mean, that no-fly defense. The Broncos have a pretty solid defense for the most part this year. But, man, I don't know if we'll ever be that great again. It was they were something else.
Yeah, no, they were fun to watch. And, you know, actually this summer I actually did a rewatch of week one all the way through the Super Bowl and just, you know, game by game. And I tell you what, that defense is, you know, I hate that. I'm not sounding biased, or I hope I don't sound that way, but that was probably the best defense that, you know, has ever been in the NFL. You know, 1985, the Chicago Bears, you know, they had a phenomenal defense, but the game was so different. For how we saw the game being played in 2015, the way that the offense has evolved, the way that the NFL has evolved, the way that that defense played was spectacular. And it was almost to the point, you know, where we saw the Broncos offense. They went through struggles. And it was almost to the point every game, I think the players, they said to themselves, we got to score a touchdown on defense in order to win this game. And that's what they did. I mean, they rose to the occasion. They generated turnovers. And I have never seen a defensive performance quite like 2015. And that no-fly zone was legitimate. I mean, straight up man-to-man coverage. You know, Wade Phillips sending 4 to 5 every time at the quarterback. It's a great formula.
Yeah, you're right, Cody. I don't think you're being biased at all. They were so aggressive. We see a lot of, you see it more than most. I mean, you see a lot of defenses. They're solid. You know, they have good game plans going in, but to almost become an offense, I mean, that's what that defense felt like, that at any moment they could force a turnover and take it to the house. And I don't think I'm overdoing it. I truly felt like at any moment this defense could score 6.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the case. And when you had guys like Aqib Talib who, you know, they're jumping routes and getting pick sixes, I mean, that Baltimore Ravens game, the season opener, I mean, the Broncos offense was so abysmal in that game. And it was really, it just came down to Aqib Talib versus Steve Smith, and he read Joe Flacco perfectly, pick six there. And, You know, you go back to the defensive touchdown against the Kansas City Chiefs after the game was tied up in that Week 2 matchup, Thursday Night Football, Bradley Roby scoop and score. That was the theme. And also even the Cleveland Browns game. You had the pick six by Aqib Talib in that game as well. And so, I mean, it's just all these different games where Denver was challenged. I mean, you can argue if they don't get one of those defensive touchdowns, they lose. And going to that Week 17 matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers, the San Diego Chargers at the time, Denver, if they would have lost that game, they would have completely, even though they were sitting at the one seed, if Denver lost, there was a chance they weren't even going to make the playoffs, despite how what their record was. That was the crazy scenario. So Denver, I mean, it all boils down to where, you know, luck and preparation meet opportunity, and that's where the Broncos were. I mean, they capitalized on so many different opportunities. Yeah, it's truly amazing. I don't think we're going to see a defense like that for quite some time.
Yeah, I think Vic Fangio, if he continues with Denver, I think they'll put together some decent defenses. But you're right, that's one of those historic teams. Where does that Von Miller play? You know, the strip sack, the reach, you know, the grabbing of the football, that play we all know, that iconic moment. Where does that rank for you, Cody? Not just in Broncos memories, but all-time NFL plays. I mean, that was a big play. That was a game changer.
Yeah, it really was. You know, if I had to say Broncos-wise, you know, I think that the drive is always going to be the number one play series for Denver and, you know, in team history. But Von Miller's strip sack is absolutely, I think, the second best play, arguably the best play in Broncos history. Just the magnitude of the moment, because I remember all the national media analysts saying Denver has no chance in this game. They're going to get beat worse than the Seattle Seahawks beat them in Super Bowl 48. And everyone predicted a blowout. And coming into it, it was the number one defense by Denver going against the NFL's number one ranked offense. And the Broncos' poorest offense was going against the number two ranked NFL defense. So, I mean, the odds were against Denver. And so for Von Miller to be able to do what he did against Remmers off the outside strip sack was a thing of beauty. And, I think that's one of the top plays and just the overall moment. I mean, we all knew at that point Von Miller, if the Broncos would hold on, he would be Super Bowl 50 MVP.
Man, the guys you mentioned, they had everything. I mean, they had your lockdown corners. They had your nasty pass rushers. They had nasty interior defensive line. Middle linebackers were solid. I mean, this team, I mean, that is the that's what you want. If you're building a defense and you're creating it in the lab, every single position they had filled to a T, not just physically, but mentally too, the personalities on that roster. I mean, my goodness, Cody, you're kind of making me sad at the same time, just kind of thinking back to what it was.
Yeah, no, I mean, those guys had dogs on their team, man. Darian Stewart, TJ Ward, I mean, those two guys, they come up and hit you. Aqib Talib and just the thing, and I'll never forget the story that TJ Ward said about Aqib Talib is that the Panthers, they came up pregame, they wanted to shake hands and talk, and Aqib Talib says, "Nah, we're not gonna shake your hands." Like he's like, you know, we're gonna do that. So Aqib Talib, you know, he gets those penalties, gets the taunting against guy number 10. I forgot his name. He was with Denver in training camp for 1 year and never made it because he had like a weight room accident. But and then he has the other one where he gets the face mask call and TJ Ward says, "What are you doing, Aqib?" And he goes, "I'm setting a tone." So it's like you don't see that anymore in the NFL.
No.
Since 2015, I have never seen a defense, I've never seen a player do what Aqib Talib did. Just that tone setter with that dog mentality. It's been a long time since we've seen something like that.
All right, Cody, since we're talking about that, because I'm with you, I love it. I you know, even going to Nuggets games, Broncos games, seeing everybody take pictures before the game together, it's as a fan, it just makes me die inside. If Aqib Talib is in that game Sunday night against the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill does his backflip into the end zone thinking he has a touchdown at that point, what do you think Aqib Talib does in that moment?
Oh, I think you see Aqib Talib getting his face and probably shoving. But, I mean, I don't know, you know, this day and age, too. I mean, I like to hear Aqib's thoughts on that on his podcast because he does a great job with that, too. He's making his transition into the media world. So, he's just got a lot of great stories. He's just, you know, there's a certain thing you'll allow. And I don't think if Aqib Talib was on that field and that defense was on that field, the Broncos defense would not ever allow anything like that to happen. So, that's a good thing right there. And you know, I was very proud of Denver's defensive effort on Sunday against the Chiefs too.
Yeah, no, you're right. This defense, and not to take anything away from this group. I mean, they've been absolutely depleted with injuries. We know the story with AJ Boye. It's a different story every week. Yet time and time again, this defense is putting out strong performance after strong performance. Let's go back over to that offense, Cody. 4 weeks left for Drew Locke. It's been rough. I mean, the stats are up there. The eye test has been a little interesting for Drew. What does he have to do to win over the coaching staff, fan base, Elway, whatever? Or has he already done it? Is he already going to be the guy for better or worse next season?
I don't think he's done enough yet to be the guy. I think the Broncos will bring him back next year. Now, he's got four games. I thought he improved. You know, I think the Miami game, I think this game as well, were probably two of his best games that he's played this season, minus the interceptions. I mean, the first play to Noah Fant down the left sideline, 37 yards to Noah Fant in one-on-one coverage was great. And then he follows up two plays later with a very porous decision trying to float it to Troy Fumagalli, who's covered, and he misses the check down with Nick Vinette coming across the field. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, his decision-making is definitely hurting the Broncos. And Vic Fangio said it this week that he's got to cut back on the turnovers, the interceptions, because it is hurting the team. But from the most part, the throws that we saw from him, that throw to Tim Patrick was perfect. Pressure in his face, floats it up. He had another throw to Tim Patrick coming across the middle of the field. His ball placement, I thought, was very efficient for the most part. And that's what we saw. But now he's got to put that together for four quarters and reduce the mistakes that he's making. And if he can do that, you know, I think this is a great game. I've got the vibe where Drew Locke and the Broncos offense can come to Carolina this Sunday and play the way that they played against Houston last year in that game where we saw Drew Locke have a big game. I feel like this is a similar vibe that I've got for this Denver Broncos team this Sunday against Carolina.
Do you see Jerry Jeudy, do you see a big-time point of emphasis to make sure that he gets the football? We all saw the Twitter stuff. We were talking about that. He's a frustrated guy, but it seems like John Elway, Vic Fangio are backing him up on this. Do you see him becoming a focal point, if he wasn't already, more so for Drew Locke this weekend?
I think they will. I think they'll definitely try to get him some more looks. But, you know, the thing with Jerry, he's been battling an ankle and an Achilles injury the last few weeks. And you could tell sometimes on film it impacts him probably midway through the third quarter in terms of just sometimes it takes a little bit longer for him to get out of his brace, which isn't really, you know, anything that I think is an issue for him. He's just frustrated. I mean, he's a guy, and, you know, Brady, you know this as well as I do. When he was at Alabama, he was never used to losing football games. And so when you come to the pros, you know, it's not like that. You can play for a powerhouse program in college and be, you know, undefeated every year or lose one game every year. But, you know, you go to the NFL, it's tougher. The, you know, competition you're going against is a lot stronger, and your room for error is very minimal. And so he's not used to losing. So this is, I think, a growing pain for him as a rookie. But I would be very shocked if Denver doesn't try to get him the ball a lot more on Sunday.
What do you make of the makeup of this team? We just talked about that defense. I feel like they're a pretty solid group. Drew Locke's the big question mark, sure, but other than the quarterback, and I know it's a weird thing to say about football, other than the quarterback, how do you feel about this team? If you remove Drew Locke, and let's just talk about the line, let's talk about the receivers, Melvin Gordon, Lindsay, the defense, how do you think this team has that kind of potential to be, as you said, we'll see what happens this year, but get that quarterback position figured out, whether it's Drew Locke or player to be named later, how do you feel about the rest of this group?
I think it's got a lot of promise, to be honest with you, Bray. I feel like when you look at the personnel from the skill player positions, you look at the offensive line, I think Denver could have a very, very explosive offense. You know, you factor in Tim Patrick, who's been so reliable this year, Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, Noah Fant, Melvin Gordon, Phillip Lindsay. The offensive line, too. And the offensive line's done a really good job in pass protection. I mean, you go all the way back to the beginning of the season, you go against the, I believe, the Pittsburgh Steelers game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. That's where a majority of Denver sacks came this season. Denver, for the most part, they have not had a quarterback sack in the last 3 weeks in terms of Drew Locke. Drew Locke has been protected. He's been clean. He's come away with a clean jersey, which is great. And it's been against very aggressive defenses like Miami. It's been like a, you know, aggressive defense like the Kansas City Chiefs and the pressure they send. They have done a very good job. And even Austin Schlottman filling in for Graham Glasgow has been very impressive as well. He's learning. He's getting better himself. So, yeah, I think, yeah, Brady, I think if the quarterback position finds a little bit more consistency, this is an offense I think that can blossom. When you factor in a return of Cortland Sutton, Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This could be a very dangerous offense.
Which would put a lot of pressure, more pressure than there already is, on that quarterback position. If the next 4 weeks take a turn for the worse, Cody, are the Broncos going to be big-time buyers in the free agency world? Are they going to be looking for a trade? Or, again, if we take a turn for the worse, are we looking at a quarterback in the draft?
I think it really depends on how the Broncos do in these final four games. And I think the more realistic option for them is going to be if they're not really 110% sold on Drew Lock, I do believe that they look at maybe trying to acquire a veteran free agent quarterback or trading for one. But outside of that, I think that Drew Lock's going to have to try to make his presence felt like as if he's going to be the guy. And he just can't worry about the noise and the hypotheticals. I don't believe Denver would necessarily draft another quarterback at this point just because it involves having to deal with the young growing pains, right? And I don't know if Denver's got the patience to be able to do that again. So I imagine it's going to be a free agent quarterback, veteran guy if they do bring in a quarterback. And it's going to be competition for Drew Lock at training camp this summer. And if Drew Lock beats him out, that's great. If not, then Drew Lock's going to develop and learn behind him a little bit. And maybe when he's ready to go, he'll be ready.
Big game coming up this weekend against the Panthers. No Christian McCaffrey. What do the Broncos need to do to get that fifth win of the season?
Well, definitely not overlook Mike Davis as well. He's a pinball machine when he's out there with carrying the rock. And Teddy Bridgewater has been a pretty good quarterback. And, they're going to get Curtis Samuel back in this game. No DJ Moore. He's still on the COVID list. And, I think Denver, it's going to boil down to decision-making on the offensive side of the ball. Now, Carolina defensively, they don't get a lot of interceptions. However, they do rally to the football, and they force a lot of fumbles. And when they get out to the quarterback, it's usually a strip sack. So Denver, protect the football, make good decisions, and then defensively, just play how you've been playing. I think Denver matches up really well with Carolina.
Yeah, it should be interesting. This certainly feels like a winnable game for Denver. So if they can find a way to get this job done, then maybe bring some positivity back, maybe surrounding Drew Lock. Cody, what do you have for us, man, that we can check out at CodyRourkeNFL.com or any of your other works that you do throughout the week and this weekend?
Yeah, if you want to catch some of the film review we did on the Broncos red zone defense against Kansas City or even the Broncos offense against the Kansas City Chiefs defense from this past Sunday, be sure to check out the YouTube channel, Cody Work NFL. We have weekly film breakdowns for you there. And also Lockdown Broncos, a daily podcast covering the Broncos, what's going on Monday through Friday. We have an episode for you 5 days a week, so make sure that you are locked in. And also check me out on Fridays here on The Whole Show.
I love it, man. Nobody breaks it down better than you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. Hopefully, we're talking about what went right for Denver and see if they can make it two in a row.
I know. That's the hope, my friend, and I appreciate you.
All right, man. It's Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network. Great work there. I mean, he busts into this. He's a film study guy. So if you're into the film, if you're into the deep, deep study of pro football, I suggest Cody Rourke. I mean, he's sensational. 35 minutes after the hour. Colfax, a busy week. I want to get to my top three games coming up next outside of Broncos-Panthers. This is a huge week in the NFL, not just for the Broncos, but throughout. We're getting close to the playoffs. There's a lot of must wins out there. There was one last night. You're welcome, by the way. Called that 17-10 on the year. For Thursday night specials, since back to January, not all football, but I think we feel pretty good about our Thursday night picks, 17-10. The Rams win that. That probably ends the Patriots' hopes. So we'll get to a busy weekend in the NFL coming up. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
39 minutes after the hour. Been fun today, man. A lot of great interviews. A lot of great insiders that we feature here in this program. So we appreciate it. Zach Stevens, Brian Howell, and Cody Rourke. Great people. Certainly knowledgeable about the sports that they cover. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Be sure to text KFKA to that number if it's your first time texting into the show. And join us on Tuesdays. We have our Top Text Tuesday. We reward the best text. And the next one to get three victories gets the Denver Broncos / Christmas gift package. Sweet. We'll get more details on that for you next week. Do want to thank Mosier Funeral Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Give Robin Scott or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. That website, mosierfuneralservice.com. And their phone number is 970-330-6824. Colfax, let's take a look at a busy weekend in the NFL. I'm going to go through everything, but I'll just highlight my top three games this week because it's that big of a week where a lot of these games, they have so much playoff meaning. Last night had playoff meaning. The Rams win 24-3. I could have told you that and saved you guys time so that you could go do whatever, get the Christmas tree up. But some of you didn't listen, and that's fine. But the Rams win and really solidify that spot in the NFC playoff race. The Patriots now 6-7 on the outside looking in. That might have been the game for them. It's one of those games where Bill Belichick has to come out and say Cam Newton is our quarterback. That's when you know it was a rough one. You can't throw for 60 yards and score 45 every week, Colfax. Broncos-Panthers this week. Both teams are 4-8. We'll see what happens. I'm rooting for growth for Drew Lock. That's what I'm rooting for. You have to see it. I'm done with the stats. I'm done with all of it. I got to see it now. Now is the time. If I don't see it this Sunday, I want to see Brett Rippon. I want to see him at least for a game before we end this thing. Seriously. You lose to Carolina, and if Drew Lock's bad again, let's try Brett Rippon for a game. Give him a game. Or we could do what Steve Adazio does. Try him for a series or six. Confuse the hell out of everybody. Texans, Bears, don't care. Cowboys, Bengals, don't care. Chiefs, Dolphins. Chiefs are 11-1. Dolphins are 8-4. Now, if you are doing the optimistic playoff watch, Colfax, you should be. You're watching this game. The Broncos hold the tiebreaker over the Dolphins. Chiefs 11-1. Dolphins 8-4. Now they have to lose out. But if they do that, then the Broncos would have them in the tiebreaker, and that's one team. Again, I'm not there yet. I need to see 2 weeks of everything go perfectly right. Chiefs should win, although they're favored by 7.5. It's in Miami. Cardinals-Giants. It's a big game. You know, the Cardinals are 6-6. They're looking to stay in the playoff race. And the Giants are 5-7. They're running the division. They win this game. I mean, they're the team everybody's rooting for right now. They were 1-7, Colfax. Won 4 in a row, and they're trying to make it 5 in a row. Vikings-Buccaneers. There's number one. That is my top game of the... Well, not top game. It's one of my top games. Bucks-Vikings. If the Vikings lose this game, they've been on a run. They're 6-6. They lose this game, they're likely done. The Bucks are 7-5. They're kind of on that in that territory where if they lose this game, everything becomes a little bit more important. So can Tom Brady bounce back? Can they get win number 8? I've got this team going to the Super Bowl, Colfax, so you know who I'm rooting for. Titans-Jags. Titans 8-4. You know, Derrick Henry is at 1,300 yards rushing. He needs 700 yards in 4 weeks. To get the 2,000 yard mark. That is going to be a very, very tall task. That's averaging, what, 300 yards a game? Something like that? Yeah. It was fun while it lasted, but let's see how close he can get to it. He'll probably end up with 1,700, and that would be pretty phenomenal. Colts, Raiders, that's a big game because, you know, the Colts are right there in the playoff race. The Raiders can leapfrog, though, if they beat the Colts, so watch out for this one. It's a big game. Jets, Seahawks, don't care. Seahawks better win that game. Packers, Lions, somewhat interesting because the Lions aren't 100% out of this race yet. They're 5-7. Saints, Eagles. Well, you get to see the Jalen Hurts era begin for Philadelphia, so there's some interest there. Plus, they're actually right there in the thick of it for their division at 3-8-1. Falcons, Chargers, don't care. Washington, 49ers, I kind of care. Washington's right there in the mix, too. The worst division in football is the hottest race in football. Steelers, Bills, that's another game. That is on my list. Steelers are 11-1. They get their first loss last week in a trap game to Washington against this Bills team led by Josh Allen, who is having a phenomenal year. And believe it or not, the Buffs are actually the favorites in this game against the 11-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are undefeated on the road. Bills have only lost one at home. Monday Night Football. Ravens-Browns. Who would have thought? December 14th, Ravens-Browns would be this huge of a game. The Browns are 9-3. The Ravens are 7-5. You are in must-win territory for the Baltimore Ravens. So, I like Bucks-Vikings. I like Bills-Steelers. And then Ravens-Browns. Should be a blast of a weekend, man. I mean, when you look at the standings, all these teams this weekend, as far as big, I mean, Cleveland's sitting at 9-3 in that first wild card spot. But if they lose the game and you have Indy win and you have Miami win, suddenly things kind of change. Now the tiebreakers, things get interesting and we'll start looking at those, but it's a huge game Monday night. Cleveland needs to win that game. The Colts desperately need to beat the Raiders, but the Raiders are right behind the Colts. The Raiders are sitting in eighth place. If the Raiders beat the Colts, they jump right over Indy, and they get that final playoff spot, at least for now. Because remember, you're going an extra wild card team. So seven teams get in, and Indy is that team right now. They win, they hang on to their spot. In fact, if they can win and Miami loses to Kansas City, the Colts will climb up the charts. But Baltimore, believe it or not, they are two spots out of the playoffs. So you are in must-win territory for Lamar Jackson's Baltimore Ravens. Patriots probably done, and then the next best thing is the Broncos. So they're 4-8. should be fun, man. It's a busy, busy weekend of football. I mean, is this like one of the first weekends that we've seen CSU play, CU play, Denver play? I mean, I try to do the math because CSU, don't forget, they played a lot of Thursday games. So I don't remember many weekends where we've had all of them going at it. And I'll give you my predictions, my win-loss predictions at the end in our closing thoughts segment. Colfax, here's what's interesting, though. The Broncos play the Panthers, okay? They have the Bills, the Chargers, and the Raiders. If, for some weird reason, the Raiders are in the hunt and in the thick of it, and it comes down to it, maybe the Raiders drop two or three of them, the Broncos could, if anything, be the reason that the Raiders don't make the playoffs at the end of the season. So you might have that to look forward to and make up for that thrashing you received earlier in the season, 37-12. 48 minutes after the hour, I'm going to take a short break. I'll give you, in my closing thoughts, I'll give you my predictions for Broncos, Panthers, for CU, Utah, and for CSU, Utah State coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
I think the Broncos-Panthers game was... That was when you had them winning. I had them winning this game. I think I had them winning this Panthers game. Not that that matters anymore, Colfax. Or records were a little off this year. You know, if they win out, we'll only be like three games off. So that will feel good.
It's not bad.
That's not too bad.
And heck, if they go to the playoffs, we weren't wrong.
Yeah.
It was the road to the playoffs. That's what we called it.
Yeah. It's not up on the site anymore.
No, we took it down.
Took that down. We are going to do something fun, though.
Yes.
With the Nuggets. We're going to do a win predictor.
I really feel like we shouldn't.
No?
I swear, every time we do one of these things.
It doesn't work
it
out.
It ruins.
We did like the sack-o-meter. And
yeah. They got like three sacks.
Because we're like sacks to the record.
Yeah.
Nuggets, we did the road to the championship or something.
Right.
How many wins they
needed.
That
was the first year.
That was the first year.
Yep.
But they got past the first round, so
yeah.
It's not totally jinxed.
That's true.
So there's 72 games, and Colfax and I are going to go through... We're not going to go through like scientifically schedule by game by game, but realistically think of what that record might look like this year.
Pick them.
Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up. I haven't even got to this yet. Will Barton or MPJ to start? Game one. Now, I'm already getting some of the Hooligans with the cliche. I love your cliches, by the way.
It doesn't matter who starts. It matters who finishes.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Great. Awesome. Fantastic. Starters are more important. It's basketball. Yes, I get it. At the end, they're going to fit. But if you start consistently, yes, you're going to be an important player. Game one, though, best chance to win against Sacramento. Best chance to win against the Clippers. Second game. Is it Will Barton? Who's more of a complete player, by the way. But if we're just looking at how to win a game, just to win one game, is it Will Barton or MPJ to start? Because, I mean, conventional wisdom tells you starters get more minutes. So to win right now, it's Barton. But if you want to get MPJ better and still provide some good offense and have a shot, then you should start MPJ. But Dempsey brought it up yesterday. You may not have that luxury. You don't have a lot of time. So it'll be very, very interesting. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Got it right. There it is. Whew. Whew. Colfax, here's my predictions. All right. I got Broncos. I don't know if I'm rooting for this or not, but I got Broncos beating the Panthers this week. I'm not giving a score because I'm not going that far. I have CU beating Utah, and I have Jarek Broussard running for the first 100-yard game since 1957 against Utah. So that's a little side prediction there. CSU and Utah State, sorry. Utah State's 1-5. They're not great either. I think CSU is going to lose this game. I just don't see this offense. Doesn't have an identity. We got musical chairs with the quarterback position. COVID, all this stuff. I don't see it. CSU found a way to beat Wyoming, but they're just not a great football team right now. And that doesn't mean the future is over for CSU. It just means tomorrow is going to be rough. UNC tonight here on 1310 KFKA. Cannot wait for this game. Can the Bears go 2-0 before a huge game coming up on Monday against Colorado? Can't wait. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.